Greetings. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all my beloved brothers and sisters who are congregating in this church, who are watching us in this sermon, also to first-time guests and newcomers. A very warm greeting to all of you. May my God bless you. You may be seated. And I give thanks to the Lord because after so much effort, after so many years, and, well, many obstacles and many things, finally, the album Hymns 11 is coming out, and I want publicly, since all of you are going to hear me, I want to thank you with all of my heart, and also congratulate the brothers and sisters, the musicians and instrumentalists, because they have done this work with all of their heart. As you could see, the different places, the brother who lives in France, the brother who lives in Venezuela, some who live in the United States, and others in Colombia, and different places, all working together through social media, through those virtual programs that exist thanks to technology. And I congratulate you. And I want to highlight that all of the brothers and sisters that participated and worked on Hymns 11, those who played those instruments, they are professional musicians and they have the spiritual gifts. They have the gift of prophecy. And some are pastors. Therefore, like in antiquity, when it says that King David appointed 70 singers and musicians that played instruments in order to sing to God, to praise God in the temple that King Solomon had built for God. And those 70 singers and those musicians, they were prophets. They were all prophets. And when they began to sing and play for the Lord, to play the music, they were taken by the Holy Spirit and they prophesied in their songs. We have the Psalms as proof of that music that in antiquity was sung for the Lord. Music and lyrics, not so much the melody, but the lyrics that we today are applying to worship God, to glorify God, to compose hymns and choruses. Therefore, the praises to our Lord continue. After thousands of years, King David established this. And now we continue. I think that King David, wherever God has him, must be very proud of what he did because we have followed his steps in singing to the Lord with musical instruments and overall our natural instrument, which is our voice, all of your voices. Therefore, I congratulate you and I give many thanks to the brothers and sisters that with so much love and so much kindness, they had to bear with my scolding. Especially those in production. Brother Esteban also has worked very hard and has been scolded very much. What? Why is it taking so long? You're taking too long. But, well, my beloved brothers and sisters, the album Hymns 11 has come out. There is a website where you can acquire it. And you will go in and enter that webpage and it will give you the directions on how to acquire it, because there are many people who like to get it physically because they still have their devices to play CDs. And there are people who love to play the CD and listen to it because there are others whose phones are too full or maybe they don't have the time to download the music on their phone. So one way or another, you are able to acquire it. I also advise you to listen to it, learn the melody. The first hymn that we sang today is from the Hymns 11 album. So we need to learn the melody. We need to learn to sing because we ought to sing to God. God loves it when we sing to him. He is pleased when we sing to him. Also, I do want to answer many people who write to me. Men overall, they write to me and they say that they know how to play instruments, that they compose music, they know how to compose, they have composed hymns and choruses. What should they do in order to participate? As you can see, or as you were able to see, the brothers and sisters who participated in the CD, they are people, some are pastors, others have the spiritual gift of prophecy. They are people from the church that love and seek God, which is what we want, that everything that we do here in the church, that we may do it under the order and commandment of the Lord and with God's support as well, that he may support us. We are not going to create an orchestra or a band or musical groups with just any person, because thanks be to God, in the church, we have all the people that play all instruments. So we see people who have good testimonies, good examples. Each person that lives a holy and righteous life before the Lord, so that they may deserve to play or to sing to our God. So, as you were able to see in the video, the way in which each person from their place fulfilled their duty in composing music, adding musical ornaments, and the voices as well. Thank you to Sister Alexandra and Didier, who have always helped me with choruses, with the musical ornaments of all hymns and choruses. And that is such a great work. And they have done this job with all of their heart. So may God bless them as well. And I give thanks to the Lord for allowing this album to come out, because to sing to the Lord is a way to worship and glorify his name. Very well. Thank you. Thank you. And congratulations to all who participated in this work. Now, we are going to begin our sermon. And we are up to Acts 14. In Acts 14, that is our reading today, the reflection, where Paul and Barnabas, as prophets, because it says that they were prophets, they continued traveling to many places, visiting and preaching the gospel, as it says in verse number 1 of chapter 14. Of chapter 14, it says, "Now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews," meaning Paul and Barnabas, the prophets. "They went to the synagogue of the Jews, and we spoke, saying that they preached there because they did not have another meeting hall to do it. And so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and of the Greeks, believed." It says that they spoke, they preached the gospel of the Lord. They preached the good tidings of salvation. And that there was a multitude of Jews and Greeks there present, and they believed. But before we continue in this reading, we are going to remember about the gospel, why they were there, risking their lives, preaching that wonderful gospel that had them steadfast, because they had begun this path, this mission of beginning to speak and testify of the word of the Lord, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why were they doing it with so much conviction? Why did they do it? Because perhaps they realized from the very first moment the support of God was with them. But we, and newcomers, we are going to read. I know that the brothers and sisters who have been here for a long time in the church have read this many times. You know what the gospel is. You already know. But newcomers and first-time guests who have not read, it's good to remind them. So we're going to go to Matthew 4, 17, so that we may remember and see that it was an order from the Lord Jesus Christ, that they needed to go and travel to many places, many cities and towns, to preach the gospel of the Lord. And what was the promise? What did he say? That he was going to support, he was going to bless those who were doing this job, this work. And so here in Matthew chapter 4, we are going to read here from verse 17 to verse 22, when the Lord Jesus Christ began his ministry, his work of evangelizing. And it says in verse 17, it says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he was clarifying that the gospel, the good tidings, or the new plan of salvation that was called the kingdom of heaven. And it's kingdom because God in antiquity had offered through his prophets, said that he would send a king and his kingdom would be perfect. His reign would be a perfect one where people would be happy, where everyone would have peace and with spiritual and material abundance. So the people of that time, they waited for that perfect king. They wanted for that promise to be fulfilled and for that perfect king to appear for them and therefore enjoy and delight in many things on earth. And that is why the gospel of the Lord is called the kingdom of heaven, because when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not physical or material. It is spiritual. And that is what they did not believe and they did not like. Those who were listening at that time, they did not want to believe or accept because they wanted the king to be a real king. They wanted to see him on a throne in a place ruling over the entire nation. And so that is why the Lord says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He says that that was part of the gospel. They would be preaching the gospel, preaching the kingdom of heaven. And that is why he says, I will make you fishers of men. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. They followed the Lord Jesus. They followed the instructions that the Lord Jesus Christ began to give them once the Lord would need to leave the earth, the world. So now let us go to Mark 13:1. Here in Mark 13:1, where we continue to read more about the orders that the Lord Jesus Christ gave about preaching the gospel and also about the support that he would give all of those who he would be sending. In Mark 13, from verse 1 to 10, we will be reading, and it says, then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here, referring to the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus answered and said to him, do you see these great buildings? Not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. The Lord saying that the day would come that there everything would be destroyed. Everything would be finished. Everything would come to an end. But the word of the Lord would continue forever. His gospel, his kingdom would continue forever. But everything physical or material that they were seeing, that would have an end. Because wars would come later on, and they would be destroying everything. And so, they did not understand these things that the Lord was explaining to them. It says in verse 3, "Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, 'Tell us, when will these things be? When will it be that not a stone shall be left upon another, that everything will be thrown down and destroyed? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? What sign are you going to give us to know this, to know the time?' And Jesus answered them, began to say, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many.' And indeed, that happened. All of that had been fulfilled because other people came saying that they were also the prophet, that they were also sent by God, that they were also a person sent by God to preach a different gospel, a different religion. That has happened. And so the Lord here was warning the apostles, speaking to them about what was going to happen, about what was going to occur, but that they needed to be steadfast. They needed to believe in the Lord and obey him and to do his will, just as what he ordered them to do, that they needed to go travel. They needed to preach the gospel, that kingdom of heaven, those good tidings of salvation. And the Lord continues to explain to them, saying, but when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, it says in verse 7, and rumors of war, do not be troubled, for such things must happen, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrows. But watch out for yourselves, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. All of these things began to be fulfilled in the moment that the Lord rises up to heaven, a cloud receives him, and the apostles then gather together in a place to pray, and so that the Holy Spirit would fill them with power and abilities. And this way, they began to preach the gospel that means good tidings, gospel, which means the new method of salvation. The kingdom of heaven was at hand, but it's a spiritual kingdom. And here in verse 10, it says, and the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. Here, the Lord changed. He changed that method. Because in antiquity, it was one nation. It was just one nation that God had chosen. He elected and he prepared them, gave them laws. But they, since they did not fulfill those laws, the people of Israel, then the Lord Jesus, when he came, he says that the gospel will be for the entire world, for all of those who prepared their hearts to believe, to obey, to love God, to pray, to trust in God, to seek him with all their hearts. That is the gospel. And that would be the followers that God wants. People from all over the world. Because the Lord would not be partial with people, but he would give the opportunity to all. Thanks be to God and his love. And that is why he said, and the gospel must be first preached to all the nations. Without making an exception of any social class or color or race or language, but a heart that truly prepares himself for God, that prepares himself to believe in God and to trust in him. And here in Mark 16, when the Lord was giving his instructions, his last instructions to his apostles, in verse 14, it says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, the 11 disciples, as they sat at the table. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. When the Lord resurrected, there were some people who were witnesses and saw that tomb open, and they were speaking with the Lord. He presented himself to many, and they told the apostles, and they did not believe. And the Lord here rebukes them. Yet among this, the Lord gives them orders. The Lord empowers them, gives them the authority, makes them the promise that they, when they go out to preach the gospel, they would have the support of God, his permission, and that they would go and have success and triumph in all of their journeys, in all of their preaching. And that is why he says here in verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, the Lord would say. It says, preach the gospel to every creature. And what did that gospel consist of? Telling people that our God had sent his son to the world in the form of a human being. He took flesh as a human being to be able to walk with human beings. And he sent his son, and they had to listen to him because he was going to be preaching. He would be teaching the true way that leads to eternal life. And the Lord, in this way, did it in the time that he was preaching. But now, this was the moment for him to go. His job was done, and he was appointing his apostles so that they would continue with that work. And the Lord worked miracles and wonders during the time that he was preaching to convince people, to convince the unbelievers. And he told the apostles, I also will give you the power. I will clothe you with the power from on high, so that you also may do all the things that I do. And he would say to them, greater works you will do. What I have done, you will do greater things. You will do greater things because God would be with them, because the Holy Spirit would be there, guiding them, advising them, and they would press on in this preaching of the kingdom of heaven, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way, the only true religion that leads to eternal life, to know and have and be before God, and to know his wonderful salvation that he has prepared for the followers, for those who believe and seek and prepare their hearts. So here he said, go around the world and preach that gospel to all beings, all. And those who believe and are baptized, because that baptism was established by John the Baptist. That is why they persecuted him, because they said that he was a liar, that he was inventing a new religion. But he did the will of God. And here, the Lord was highlighting that he who believes in this gospel, he who believes that the gospel is about God sending his son in the form of a human, and that he would be shedding his blood for salvation and forgiving sins, And he who believes in him and believe in everything that he was teaching, speaking, preaching, then he would be saved. And this person would then be baptized in order to be saved, it says. But he who does not believe, they will be condemned. Here it clearly says that the only way that God has shown in his gospel after the Lord, the only way that he has shown for eternal salvation is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true gospel. Because the true gospel, it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. So he says, I'm going to leave signs for those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. And I ask myself today, how many speak in tongues? Not talking about this church, Church of God, Ministry of Jesus Christ International. Let us talk about other Christians who say they read the Bible and that they are Christians because they believe in Jesus Christ. And they say that they are a church. How many speak in tongues? How many pray and cast out demons? How many pray and people are delivered from witchcraft, from sorcery, from evil spirits? That is the question. That if you go and research those places, you are not going to find anyone doing this type of work. And the Lord says here that these are the signs that he was going to leave his followers, those people who truly follow that gospel completely. In verse 18, it says, the other signs, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. We have heard, yes, that there are many places where the devil imitates the work of the Lord, the work of the Holy Spirit. And there are many places where some people, sorcerers or spiritists, however you may call them, they do these things because the devil has always wanted to imitate the work of the Lord. And yet, some people have said, no, I went to the spiritist, I went to the sorcerer, and I had an illness, and the sorcerer there, he did a session, some therapies, and I was healed from that illness, that person may say. But, well, they were healed from that illness, and everything just stayed that way because that person doesn't have a change of life. A sorcerer or a spiritist or someone who says that has powers and they are laying hands and people faint, because there are some people who say, oh no, when we lay hands, they faint and they fall to the ground. But these people who do these things, they do not do it with the help of the Holy Spirit, with God, but they are deceitful spirits that are there doing the work that God ordered his followers, his true followers, imitating the work of God to twist spiritual lives, to twist the knowledge of the Lord, of the true gospel, and then people get confused. But there is also a great sign. Apart from that, the other sign that we have to know if we are walking on the path of truth and the other way is a change of life and fear. And the fear that a man or a woman begins to have before the Lord. Because God doesn't just work a miracle to a person or heal someone or removes cancer or an incurable illness. Not only does he solve material problems in life, but God begins to give peace, to give joy, to give calm, prosperity, and changes and teaches that person to not live a sinful life, but to turn away from sin. And God himself begins to deliver this person so that they may not sin. And the person, after having living a sinful life, They feel that they do not have that appetite, that desire to do or to live that bad life that they lived before. Because they heard the voice of God, because they heard God, because God healed them. And apart from healing them physically, God also touched their heart and removed all of those sinful tendencies. And the person begins to have fear of God and to live a holy life, a righteous life before the Lord, to do good for others, to be honorable, honest, righteous. This person begins to bear these fruits. And so that is the sign as well that we see to know if we are actually walking in the true way or not, with a change of life. That is why the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus when he said, "What should I do to attain eternal life?" And he said, "You need to be born again." In order to attain eternal life, you need to be born again. And he said, "That's impossible to go back into my mother's womb in order to be born again." And the Lord said, "No, that's not necessary. You need to be born of water and the Spirit of God, of the Word of God. When God comes to the life of a man or a woman, when he comes to their heart, then this person changes. Their hearts are moved and transformed. They leave and abandon their old ways, their sins, all of those things that they used to do that were wrong. They turn away from all that is evil because God changes them and gives them a new life. That is being born again. That is what the Lord said to Nicodemus. You must be born again, and only the Spirit of God can fulfill these things with human beings. Meanwhile, evil spirits and the devil can imitate the work of the Lord, but they do not change people's lives. When is the devil going to say to someone, stop sinning? On the contrary, he says, continue doing what you're doing. You're doing well. And incites them to continue to sin more and more. What a way for us to distinguish the true way, the correct way to distinguish that true way of salvation, the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, a change of life. God can manifest himself working wonders and miracles and healing, but that the Lord may also change our hearts. And then we live a holy life before him, doing good to others. Glory be to the Lord. That is something which the devil cannot imitate ever. So that is how we know the work of the enemy. Therefore, we will continue here with the reading of these prophets that began their missionary trip preaching the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we will go once again to Acts 14. And now it says, "Now it happened in Iconium that Paul and Barnabas went to the synagogue of the Jews, and they spoke about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in such a way that a multitude of Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord." They were trusting in the Lord. They were preaching the true gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord told them, go around the world and preach to all beings. And we see here how they were preaching to the Gentiles as well, how the Gentiles were converting to the Lord as well. And we continue. It says, "Speaking boldly in the Lord, who is bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided. Part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to abuse and stone them, poor apostles." We just read when the Lord Jesus told them, you will be persecuted. They are going to persecute you. They're going to want to take your life. But you press on because you have my support. Glory to God. Verse 6, it says, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra. So when they realized that they were going to be stoned, they fled to Lystra, Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region. And they were preaching the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ there. The true gospel that was going with God's power. Verse 8, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Now, when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And so these Gentiles that saw the miracle that the apostle and prophet as well had done, they said that it's the gods that have come down to us. Why? Because they were idolatrous. They had their idols. They had their gods. They had their statues, their paintings, their figures. And when they saw the apostles working their miracles, they said, the gods have come down to us and they are here with us. And it says in verse 12, and Barnabas they called Zeus. Poor Barnabas. They called him Zeus and Paul Hermes because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Zeus, because they were filled with gods and idols, then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. So they said, well, the gods that we are worshiping have appeared to us in flesh and bone as human beings, so we are going to honor them, we are going to worship them, we're going to offer sacrifices to them. Verse 14 says, but when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran in among the multitude, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things, because those gods, those idols were useless things. These useless things to the living God. You should convert, turn to a living God in spirit and in truth, who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. That is what the apostles were explaining to these people. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good, gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain. So no matter how much Paul spoke and gave an explanation, they could not keep that people, the mob, to jump on them, to worship them, and to offer the sacrifices. And it says, and with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitudes from sacrificing to them. Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. So here we see the way in which God protected and kept the Apostle Paul that day. He protected him because after they stoned him, they thought that he was dead and they abandoned him in that place. And it says, however, when the disciples gathered around him and they began to pray and to ask God for him, he rose up and went into the city. And so when they were there praying to God so that he would have mercy on Paul, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to a city called Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city in Derbe and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. This way, the apostles enjoyed. They enjoyed the power of God, the manifestation of his word, because they preached that gospel and God supported them and also protected them from death, because God had already set each person's day of death with God's will and not by human beings. So if they wanted to take their life beforehand, they weren't able to because God was always protecting them. And in verse 22, it says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. For them to preach and to teach the people the truth of God, but also the dangers that people could live, difficult situations because of the kingdom of God, because of the word of the Lord. They also clarified this and taught people what they would need to bear and face in the future because they were following the way of the Lord, for following this gospel. And when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in Mark 16, when he says, go around the world and preach the gospel, and he who believes will be saved, but he who will not be saved. But he said so easily, preach. The Lord told them, he said, yes, you will be persecuted. And when they persecute you in this city, you must flee to another. Hide. Flee from danger. But the Lord always was with his children, with his servants. Just as today, God is with his children as well, with his servants, with those who love him, with those who follow him with their heart, with those who are steadfast, because truly the Lord Jesus said that he who remains until the end will be the one who will attain the salvation of God. And the end means the end of each person, the end of their life. Be faithful to God to that day and continue steadfast. Today, we perhaps do not have the persecution as the apostles had in those days when they began, when the church of the Lord began. Today, there are other types of problems, other types of difficulties and tribulations. Today, the devil persecutes us in a different way. But in the same way, we ought to clothe ourselves with strength, power, and will, of faith, of steadfastness, of conviction, so that God may always be with us and may help us in every moment. And we today must also face many things. But since we follow this way of the Lord, of his true gospel, he will help us and he will give us words so that we may be able to speak. We may be able to face and be among people in the world, speaking and teaching the true way of our Lord. And we have his support as well. The apostles had the divine support. We also have that support because he has promised us and we have seen his hand. We have seen his power in many ways. We have seen how God has heard our prayers, how He carries us and teaches us the way. He teaches us to live a holy life, an upright life. Today, God is the same. He is the same today. He's the same God that at that time was with His servants, the apostles, the first apostles, the first prophets. Today, the Lord is also with His children, those who love Him. That is why we are not going to discourage our hearts, because the tests today are different, but there are tests. But with prayer and with the help of God, we will press on and we will be victorious always. And here it says that after they were in that city preaching, because they were there, many people believed. And in verse 23, it says, so when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So they left there, their work established. They evangelized, but they also established the groups and places, the churches and the elders to be there presiding the congregations, all helped by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit always accompanying them, just as today He is with us as well, manifesting Himself. Thanks to that promise that the Lord Jesus Christ made, that He was leaving, but He would send the Holy Spirit to lead us, to teach us, to advise us, so that He could tell us what we ought to do and how we ought to do things. And so to have the Holy Spirit isn't just by saying it or just a theory, but we should truly feel that the Spirit of God moves in our hearts. That is the important thing. And that is a sign as well that we ought to trust in these wonderful signs to defend the Word of God, and so that when the enemy comes with other theories, with other beliefs, with other lies, using the Bible itself and saying that they also have the Holy Spirit, but you don't see the Holy Spirit of God anywhere, but only ignorance, mental disturbances, mistakes, lies, twisted ways, which is what we see. We, with these wonderful signs that the Lord has given us, it is our defense. This is what we support ourselves with, and we are certain that we are walking in the correct path, because the Lord is there admonishing us and guiding us and advising us always towards good, because the Lord always wants for us to do what is good, and what is righteous and good comes from God, not from the force of the wicked one or the liar. It is to do what is good and to live well and to be righteous. That is the sign we are always reflecting and supporting each other, so that the deceiver may not come to deceive and to lie and to make us stray from the true path. We do need to be very careful and zealous for the word of the Lord, of the way of the Lord. Sincerity in the heart of a human being helps them a lot, because when a human being is sincere, God sees sincerity and He helps them and He guides them and He leads them and places them where they need to be. Thanks be to our God. Thanks be to the Lord for His mercy and for having this wonderful privilege that God, in the midst of millions of people in the world, He has set His eyes upon us, He has chosen us, and He has brought us to congregate in His place, in His being, in His breast, in the order of His Holy Spirit. Glory to our God. And here in verse 24, it says, and after they have passed through Pisidia, They came to Pamphylia. You see the journey they took. Now, when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there, they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work which they had completed. We see that sailing was their means of transportation, sailing. Now, when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Glory to God. Here, the Gentiles were converting to God. And the Gentile churches began as well, just as the promise that the Lord made through Isaiah the prophet, through Jeremiah, that God was also looking at another fold, another people that wasn't his people, but that he would be blessing them as well. And it had to do with the Gentiles, thanks to the mercy of God. And it says, so they stayed there a long time with the disciples. They had very long visits at that time. And it had to be that way, that visits needed to be that way, because it was very difficult to travel, moving from one place to another, not like today, where today we have airplanes and it's fast. But at that time, they didn't. So today's visits are about 3 days. We go to a place, we stay there for 3 days, and that was the visit with the brothers and sisters. But at that time, the apostles, they were able to enjoy the presence of the apostles because they would stay there for months. Well, either way, today the church of the Lord presses on. The church of the Lord is in over 60 countries. There are churches, there are congregations, and it's beautiful to see people in Africa, people in Asia, in China or Japan, to see them there worshiping God, honoring him, glorifying him, singing to him with that fervor. You see in their heart the desire to love and to value our God. How beautiful that is. Because it's the word of God here, what the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Lord, we say to the Lord today, Lord, we are here. There are many people here. Appoint many prophets and evangelists and teachers and guide them to all the world to preach your word. That is what we say to the Lord. That is what we ought to say to our God. And also to first-time guests and newcomers, I invite you to congregate, to continue to congregate, go to church, ask for prophecy, because God has messages for you. God has word of comfort and guidance. So go and congregate and do not limit yourself to just watch the video. No, comfortably in your home, but go to church and receive the blessings from God. That is the important thing. That is my invitation to you all. And now we are going to be praying. We are going to give thanks to the Lord. And we are going to pray to our God and asking God to manifest himself with miracles, with wonders, as he has always done, as he always does, that the Lord may manifest himself and continue to support all of us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, Lord, for your mercy, for your truth, for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your support that you have given us. Thank you for all that you have promised us. From many years ago, you have made us wonderful promises, and those promises we see fulfilled today, O Lord. Thank you for all of this, Holy Father, because all of this shows us that we are walking down the right path, because our hearts love you, our souls praise you, O Lord, and we want to do your will, and we want to please you in everything. We want to seek you with all of our heart, and confess you to all nations and all languages, to confess your existence, confess your power, and to confess that you live, that you rule, blessed and almighty God. We give you thanks, Lord. Holy Father, in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, we ask, Lord, that you extend your powerful hand upon all people who are sick, who have physical illnesses in their body, that you may be the one healing, cleansing and delivering each person, and those who have mental illnesses, Lord, illnesses like witchcraft and sorcery, curses, extend your hand and break chains, spiritual bonds and ties, deliver the person and cleanse each person, give them peace and joy, give them happiness, give them reasoning, Lord. Thank you, eternal God. Thank you, Holy Father. In the glorious name of Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, because you are great and righteous, and your mercy endures forever. Glory to your name. We give you thanks, Lord. In the name of Jesus, glory to God.
Soy feliz, Cristo me salvó. Feliz, Él me libertó. Soy feliz, Él me bautizó, dando gloria, aleluya, Él me libertó. Soy feliz, Cristo me salvó. Soy feliz, Él me bautizó. Soy feliz, Él me bautizó.
Glory to your name forever, Lord, hallelujah.
Él me libertó, soy feliz, Cristo me salvó, soy feliz, Él me libertó, soy feliz, Él me bautizó, canto gloria, aleluya, Él me libertó.
Glory to the Lord, praised and glorified is the name of our Lord, and thanks be to God. Thank you very much to you, brothers and sisters, and may God bless you all. A kiss for the children and hugs for all of you. I love you with all of my heart. Thank you.